deep breath. So I grew up in a Cherokee family in a small town in Michigan, rural Michigan. And one of the things I love the most is at night it was so dark. And as a child, I would come out and I would look at the stars, and I could see the Milky Way with my very own eyes spread out above me like a river of stars. This is something most kids don't get to see anymore with the light pollution. And I saw this every single night of my childhood. And it made me wonder, and it filled me with awe and made me a dreamer and started my heart as an explorer. And I started reading science fiction novels. I started watching Nova. I would watch the original Star Trek with my grandmother. And my parents gave me a telescope when I was 8 years old for Christmas, and this sealed it. I wanted to be an astronaut. And I would spend hours in the cold of winter, and Michigan is really cold, because that's the best time to see the stars. And I would dream of captaining my own starship and exploring the galaxy. And I would dream of maybe starting a colony on another planet, like Anne McCaffrey's novels and Dragon Riders of Pern, my favorite author. And so this was a pivotal moment in my life. The next pivotal moment in my life was when my father went to college. He was the first person in my family to go to college, which is a feat for a Cherokee family. We are still recovering. We don't have much. And he was 36 years old and had 6 kids. And my mom got a second job to support him. You know those mothers who don't work? That never happens in a Cherokee family because it takes everyone, even me. And so I grew up on the campus of Grand Valley State University while my dad was going to school to be an anthropologist. He would take care of us kids, and he would go to school, and my mom would work 2 jobs to help support the family, along with us kids, my older brothers and sisters. And most girls are dressing dolls, and I was dressing a skeleton named Twiggy in a lab coat. You know, I love the campus bookstore because I got to read things that kids my age never even thought about. And then I found out about encyclopedias. And I read them cover to cover because they were the answers to everything. Nowadays, we call that Wikipedia. So I grew up in this wonderful environment of loving education. And yeah, I was different, but I learned to embrace it. I mean, girls at school were reading Cosmo, and I was reading about the cosmos. So there was never any doubt that I would go to college. But the problems were is that we didn't have money. We didn't have anything. I was 1 of 6. We did everything we could to put my father through college. And so there were these huge barriers. And that was my first lesson to say, you know what? You can pile those barriers in front of you until you're so afraid to do anything. And sometimes you just got to let go. And you just got to take that step and jump with full feet and have confidence in yourself that you'll figure it out when you get there. And you'll bulldoze those barriers down. And I had to do this because it was for my family and it was for me. I was never going to go anywhere where I was. I was never going to be better. And I learned from my father's experience and from my mother's experience. So my mom, she got me a duffel bag and we went to the dollar store. And we bought everything I needed for college. And she gave me $20 because that's all she had. And my father turned to me, and the last words he said after he gave me a hug before I would leave is, "I don't know what we're going to do without you." I was gone. So I won't tell you that the next years were the best moments of my life. They were actually some of the hardest in my life. I went to school at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. I paid my own way through college. There were times where I couldn't eat because I didn't have a job. There were times I didn't have a home. But I made it. 6 years of those of my life wrapped up. And I learned that, you know what? To me, home is family. Home isn't a place. It's who you're with and what you do with your life. And so I had my first, well, not my first interview, but the one interview where I knew I had made it and I was successful. And so it was Northrop Grumman, and so I called my mom. And I said, "Mom, I made it." And she was so excited for me. And she said, "I know you're going to make it to Mars." And this was so important to me because she died a year later. She never got to see me be a pilot and be an engineer. And she never got to see me be an astronaut candidate and realize my dreams. So we fast forward to 11 years later. My husband comes home one day and he says, "Hey, how would you like to go to Mars and never come back?" 2 seconds. Yeah. So we both applied, like the other 260,000 applicants. And here I'm thinking, okay, I've applied to the NASA astronaut program ever since I started qualifying. And yes, I have all my rejection letters. But I keep trying, and I have that hope. So a year later, I get this email, and I'm so excited. It says, "You have been selected to go to the next round." And I'm so excited, and I run up to him, and I'm like, "Sweetheart, I made it." And he turns to me, and he says, "I didn't." I love my husband dearly, and the thought of leaving him is the thought of leaving home. Exponential. And so we had this really heartfelt conversation. And one of the things that he said to me was, "You know, I married you to love and support you. What kind of a husband would I be if I didn't help you realize your dreams just because I don't want to be alone?" I really did marry Mr. Wonderful. And it makes it even harder to leave that. But people ask me all the time, "Why do you want to leave everything you know? Why do you want to go to this dry, desolate place? Why? Why do you want to die on Mars?" Sometimes I get flippant and I said, "Well, you have to die someday." Other times, you know, the real is, and I'll tell you all here, is that I'm not leaving everything I know. I'm discovering everything that I don't know, everything that I can be, everything that we can be as a people. Living on another planet and colonizing another planet and discovering the technologies not only helps us here, but it will change us in ways that we can't even comprehend. And I get to take that first step, as risky and as scary as it is. I'm not going to Mars to die. I'm going to live for all of us. And for me in particular, I really feel that. And so, I don't know how to end it, in all honesty. I'm going to Mars to live and to make a home and to make a future and a life. And I think that is a wonderful life worth living.